The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the coronavirus health crisis. I'm Bill Price. Painful projections. That is where we're going to start at noon today. Top government health officials say even with the current social distancing guidelines in place, the U.S. can expect at least 100,000 deaths from COVID-19.
As sobering a number as that is, we should be prepared for it.
Dr. Anthony Fauci sits on the president's coronavirus task force. He says he hopes his projections are overly pessimistic, but they will only be so if Americans remain isolated.
It's inconvenient from a societal standpoint, from an economic standpoint, to go through this. But this is going to be the answer to our problems.
And those problems about to get a whole lot worse. President Trump telling the country last night to get ready for the worst 2 weeks of this outbreak.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks.
Mr. Trump says he thinks we'll see a burst of light at the end of the next 2 weeks. But until then, it's going to be painful.
When you look and see at night the kind of death that's been caused by this invisible enemy, it's incredible.
The president urging all Americans to continue to practice mitigation efforts like social distancing until the end of the month. So, when can we expect to get back to normal?
It's not about the date, it's about the data. Are we strengthening our healthcare system? Can we proactively find every infected case, every contact, and isolate them promptly?
That's Dr. Thomas Frieden, former head of the CDC. He says there could be a new normal in the U.S. when the virus finally subsides. That could mean older Americans are forced to stay at home more often. New York City continues to be the epicenter of the virus in the U.S. Mobile tents and a Navy ship, just some of the symbols of this medical fight of a lifetime. Here's correspondent Moa Lange.
The grim ritual of bodies moved into makeshift morgues is a stark reminder of COVID-19's toll on the nation's largest city. Family nurse practitioner Shelley Kelly came to New York from Tulsa, Oklahoma to volunteer.
Ventilators are a crucial item in this response, and hospital systems here in New York City especially are overwhelmed.
Nearly 400 Boston healthcare workers testing positive for COVID-19. Daniela Lamas is a critical care physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital, where more than 100 have been infected.
By being healthcare workers, we're not actually able to do what's being recommended to the rest of the country, which is stay at home.
That's Moa Lange reporting from New York City today. Well, with doctors and nurses all across the country on the front line of this fight, a Chicago physician has now started a GoFundMe page to help raise money for protective equipment.
This is the most scared I've ever been being an ER doctor. And it's not just because of me. It's because I have a wife and a two-year-old and a one-year-old at home. I don't want to expose them. So it's hard when I go home and have to distance myself from my kids, sometimes my wife. With the traumas and the gunshots, I know it's okay, but I leave it at work. But this I can't.
Dr. Scott Samlin has been an ER doctor in Chicago for 16 years. He says he's been through SARS, Ebola, and the swine flu. But nothing compares to this. In California, where the state has been able to keep the COVID-19 numbers down, Governor Gavin Newsom says he's still concerned.
I worry most, to be candid with you, about fatigue. I worry that people saying, you know what, we got this. Let's have that birthday party and let's mix some of the extended cousins together. If we do that too soon, we're in trouble.
It's the equivalent to quite literally being in a parachute and cutting the cord before you land.
Newsom says if the virus spikes in California, the outbreak could be devastating given the state's high homeless population. In the city of Central Louisiana, Pastor Tony Spell at the Life Tabernacle Church continues to defy social distancing guidelines. This is how he closed out last night's service.
When you close every door in this city, we'll close this door and we'll go underground, but we are going to assemble and congregate as God-fearing Christians.
Louisiana considered to be the epicenter of COVID-19 in the South. Dr. David Agus, a professor of medicine at USC, says pastors who are having church services during this outbreak are putting people's lives in danger.
If a few people do the wrong thing, it hurts everybody.
A Florida pastor recently arrested for continuing to hold church services during the pandemic. 33 states and the District of Columbia have issued stay-at-home orders. A lot of governors, though, calling for President Trump to issue a national mandate. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says that's not necessary.
We have federal guidelines that everybody should be following, and on top of those, you have state guidelines. So every state has acted differently.
But some health professionals say the only way to truly mitigate COVID-19 is to impose a nationwide stay-at-home order. At least two cruise ships off the Florida coast, one with dozens of sick passengers and the remains of four who've died. Those ships now being told to stay away. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
Stay put. That's the word from the U.S. Coast Guard, which has directed all cruise ships to remain at sea where they may be sequestered, quote, indefinitely during the coronavirus pandemic. They've also been told to prepare to send any severely ill passengers to the countries where the vessels are registered. For most of South Florida's cruise ships, that means the Bahamas, where people are still struggling to recover from last year's hurricanes.
Jim Krasula reporting. Prisons across the country going into lockdown today to fight the coronavirus. Behind bars, all inmates will stay in their cells for 14 days. Officials will then reevaluate and decide whether or not to extend that time. Check the calendar. It's April 1st, and for a lot of Americans, no fooling around today. The bills are due, and this month, the money simply isn't there. This Georgia woman owes $500 in rent.
Can you pay it?
No.
What happens if you lose that apartment?
We don't have a place to stay.
Millions of Americans living paycheck to paycheck now face bills without one. Retail giants hemorrhaging jobs this week. Industry analyst Mark Strassman.
Macy's furloughed most of its 125,000 employees. The Gap, 80,000 workers. Kohl's, 85,000.
And the restaurant industry faring even worse. Experts fear one-third of all eateries in the country will go under for good if this health crisis goes on much longer. Still to come this Wednesday, the latest on the fight in New York and PA, how local restaurants are handling the crisis, and cabin fever. Yeah, it's setting in.
Good afternoon on this April 1st. No joke, pretty quiet weather, and for many of us, fairly pleasant weather to tell you about, relatively speaking. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live. In New York and Pennsylvania, the 1st of April, a Wednesday, the coronavirus continues to spread across our listening area. In New York, Governor Cuomo says the worst is yet to come.
We underestimated this virus. It's more powerful, it's more dangerous than we expected.
The governor says the state has been fighting this virus from behind since day one. In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf says COVID-19 is in 60 of the 67 counties in the Commonwealth.
We need businesses to follow our guidance and heed our mitigation efforts if we want to save lives. We need to stay home if we want to save lives. We need to work together if we want to save lives.
Wolf says more than half of the Commonwealth has been ordered to stay at home. In Albany, state lawmakers scrambling to pass a $178 billion state budget by the deadline. That's midnight tonight. The spending plan comes amid the health crisis that Governor Cuomo says could cost the state $15 billion. In Rochester, Democratic State Assemblyman Harry Bronson says the state budget will also include $35 million in emergency funds for the city's school district. That money comes with a major string attached to it.
We're pushing forward to have a monitor in place that would have fiscal oversight, but also a monitor that would have oversight over the academic program so that we have quality of education coming out of the school district.
Even with $35 million from the state of New York, some 200 teaching jobs could still be on the chopping block in Rochester, New York. Restaurants across the listening area getting creative. In their response to the coronavirus outbreak, Tom Payne owns the Grapevine in Buffalo. He says the carry-out menu there allows families to carry out a whole lot more.
We've also come up with some family packs to kind of lessen the financial burden for families. So basically, it's some of our most popular dishes, just in larger portions.
Payne says the family packs are more affordable, and these days, that means a lot.
You know, it's tough for people to feed their families today, and it's, to be honest with you, I feel at risk when I go to the grocery store. There's so many people there, but we're doing our best to help people out. You know, we're hurting, but so is everybody else.
Payne says his restaurant also putting together packaged meals that families can take home and eat later. Hospitals across the Commonwealth bracing for a surge in patients as the coronavirus continues to take its toll. Here's Family Life's Terry Dean.
According to data released by the Kaiser Family Foundation, more than half of Pennsylvania's 67 counties have fewer than 20 intensive care beds. According to that data, at least 11 counties have no ICU beds and 7 have no hospitals. Most rural hospitals already have plans in place with nearby larger ones when a patient needs critical care they're unable to provide. But those partner hospitals might be short on beds if there is a surge in patients. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Cabin fever starting to settle in for a lot of kids stuck at home because of this crisis.
It's been really boring and tough to stay at home.
It's sad because you don't get to play.
In places like Jamestown, New York, all city playgrounds and basketball courts have been shut down because of the coronavirus. Fisher Price and Mattel teaming up to help fight COVID-19. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Teams in California and East Aurora, New York are now making face masks from fabric used for Barbies. They're also working on a prototype for personal protective equipment such as face shields. Mattel's CEO and chairman says they're committed to using their resources to contribute as much as they can to help fight coronavirus and meet the significant need for the supplies. The mask will be distributed to hospitals and first responders this week. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Let's head on over to the sports desk. Sunny time. It's called your 2-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, Major League Baseball would have been in full swing today, but veterans will be paid in advance pay for the first 60 days of the season during this stoppage. Major League Baseball also announcing they'll extend their financial support to minor league players, but suspend their contracts due to the ongoing pandemic. Minor leaguers will receive $400 per week at least through May 31st. An extension of the original May 8th end date. Some players are making more money on hiatus than they would during the season. Weekly minimum salaries for full season minor league teams range from just $290 a week in Class A to $502 in AAA. The NHL extending their self-quarantine mandate for players and staff until April 15th. This adds an additional 11 days to the previous date of April 4th, which had been pushed back once already. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said, yet this date will probably be pushed back again. And UFC light heavyweight champion Johnny Bones Jones agreed to plead guilty to DWI, second offense yesterday. He'll not face any jail time if he follows the terms of plea agreement, according to a spokesperson for the New Mexico District Attorney's Office. Jones arrested on 4 charges Thursday in Albuquerque. Per the agreement, Jones must serve 96 consecutive hours in a county community custody program, similar to house arrest. In addition, Jones must complete 48 hours of community service, pay a $500 fine, and take part in a 90-day outpatient treatment program. Jones, in a statement, said, "I'm disappointed for letting the people down I care the most, my family, friends, and my fans. I accept full responsibility for my actions. I know I have some personal work to do, which involves this unhealthy relationship I have with alcohol." ESPN's Max Kellerman weighing in.
What does John Jones want to be? He wants to be a phenom that made his mark, or does he want to try to be the GOAT? For real.
Jones at 32 is a UFC champion, holding the record for the most title fight wins at 14, and title defenses 11, tied with Demetrius Johnson. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolfiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, at least 100,000 deaths in the U.S., the latest on the COVID-19 fight, some bouncing in Boise, and some rapping.
Let me tell you what we know about COVID-19.
In Buffalo.
Gravity, it is said, has a way of winning in the end. In other words, our ideas are best tested by reality itself. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A recent article in Vice described how certain life-altering surgeries had been deemed non-essential during this COVID-19 crisis. The author was talking about gender transition surgeries, and he worried that in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, trans communities are being flooded with reports of postponed and canceled surgeries in the U.S., U.K., Spain, Thailand, and elsewhere, leading to enormous stress and disappointment on top of a global health crisis. Now, despite what the article claims, and largely takes for granted, the benefits of so-called gender-affirming surgery, which is a strange name for a procedure that denies one's biological sex, in order to treat gender dysphoria, is strongly disputed. The best studies, as I described in a recent Breakpoint commentary, found that medical transition was not the solution to the patient's problems, especially in the case of male-to-female transitions. In other words, such treatment is driven by ideology, not evidence. One of the fundamental tests of a worldview is what I call the test of the real world. In other words, sometimes an ideology looks great on paper, even realistic, compelling, compassionate, but it fails miserably when lived out. Think, for example, of communism. Contemporary gender ideology not only fails this test by failing to deliver the green grass on the other side of mutilating surgery, but also in a way made more obvious in this time of crisis. Reading the Vice piece, it occurred to me just how rare this kind of article suddenly is these days, when just a month ago, these articles were ubiquitous. In fact, in our present crisis, the piece comes across as indulgent and out of touch. While the author acknowledged that medical facilities could soon be overtaxed for everyone, it didn't even mention other procedures deemed non-essential, such as, in Massachusetts, for example, colonoscopies, which can prevent colon cancer and save lives, or hip replacement surgery, which would easily fall into the category of life-altering for someone suffering in chronic pain. The simple, historically obvious reality is that much of the LGBTQ movement is a luxury that only a wealthy, technologically advanced, and politically stable society can afford. Demanding that medical practitioners who were trained to heal and to correct should be expected to amputate healthy organs and alter biological realities, well, that's a prerogative of a society with excess medical resources. A society that can rewrite moral codes and social norms to prevent anything, no matter how slight, that leaves anyone feeling less than fully affirmed? Well, let's just say that's pretty rare throughout history. To borrow from psychologist Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we're that rare people who can take for granted that our more basic needs will be met. Few of us have to worry, really, about food, clothing, or shelter. And the next level worries about physical safety and security, well, those are highly mitigated for most of us. See, what's left at the top of this hierarchy is self-esteem and self-actualization. Only societies able to take more essential and basic needs for granted can seriously entertain those worries, much less reframe them as fundamental needs on par with health and basic survival. The COVID-19 pandemic has changed this for the time being. Empty supermarket shelves, the lack of medical supplies, the threat of sickness, even death, they brought more essential and basic needs to the front of our collective attention. Against this new backdrop, demands for self-fulfillment and complaints when those demands aren't met seem petty and small. The reason is that they always were. Times of personal and societal crisis can cause us to see things more clearly. Now, will everyone get the message? Judging by this Vice article, the answer's no. But the rest of us should. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Wednesday afternoon, let's head outside. Here's Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All is pretty quiet on the weather scene. No big storms are looming. So while skies have been clearing today for most, we do have moisture that will be building back into the region later in the week as an offshore storm pivots and brings us some cloud cover, maybe a few sprinkles. But that clears out in time for a nice start to the upcoming weekend. The call for this afternoon, we'll find a mixture of clouds and sunshine for most. Some stubborn clouds, though, for a while yet in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. High temps, 40s and low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high in the 40s and near 50. On Friday, somewhat sunny near Lake Erie, but fairly cloudy elsewhere. A couple sprinkles, central New York. High temperatures, 40s and low 50s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here is the latest on the coronavirus health crisis. Wednesday, April 1st. President Trump says America needs to get ready for a painful 2 weeks in the fight against COVID-19.
This is going to be one of the roughest 2 or 3 weeks we've ever had in our country. We're going to lose thousands of people.
The top government medical experts hope the models prove to be overly pessimistic. Those models show at least 100,000 deaths in the U.S. Dr. Anthony Fauci is with the president's coronavirus task force. He says even with the social distancing guidelines in place, the number of deaths each day will continue to rise.
Now is the time to put your foot on the accelerator, because that's the only thing that's going to stop those peaks.
The head of the CDC fears another wave of the virus could hit the U.S. in the late fall or early winter. Overseas today.
France, Spain, Russia, and Britain have all recorded their biggest one-day leap in coronavirus deaths. Saudi Arabia is urging Muslim pilgrims to hold off on making travel plans for the annual Hajj, which begins in July. Cuba's banning all incoming international flights, and Turkmenistan's autocratic leader has now banned the media from using the word coronavirus.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Airports are scrambling to stay in business amid the coronavirus outbreak.
All airports are facing the challenge of trying to keep operational at a time when their revenues are almost zero.
That's Karen D. She's head of the Airport Operators Association in Britain. She says government bailouts may keep some airports on life support, but others forced to close because of this pandemic could never reopen. Britain's Prince Charles is talking about his experience with the coronavirus. He says while he's recovering, normal life has yet to return for him.
And I find myself on the other side of the illness, but still in no less a state of social distance and general isolation.
The heir to the British throne says it's hard to not be able to hug the ones he loves, but he's hoping for better days that lie ahead. 31% of Americans say they are sleeping less today because of the stress of the coronavirus. The new study also found 63% of folks say they're watching more television during this pandemic. Two-thirds of Americans report eating out less, and more than 60% of us have stocked up on at least a month's supply of essential things. In Boise, Idaho today, the pandemic was momentarily eclipsed by a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. This guy felt it.
Felt like somebody picked up my chair and was shaking me.
So far, no reports of any serious injuries or deaths. Well, today's the day that T-Mobile and Sprint close on their $27 billion merger. It took 16 different banks to get that deal done. Coming up on 23 minutes past the hour, Wednesday afternoon and next at noon, how to navigate these uncharted waters during this national health emergency with our lives flipped upside down. The changes can be paralyzing for some. Family Life's Brandon Dixon recently sat down with Christian author Paul Golden to get some timely tips. Let's listen in.
During this time, a lot of people at home, either off work or maybe even unfortunately have lost their jobs. A lot of kids at home as well because they don't have school anymore. They're having to learn from home. So a lot of changes, a lot of things going on, stress, maybe fear and worry creeping into the picture as well. So how do we weather a storm like this pandemic that probably most, if not all of us, have never seen before?
That's a good question, Brandon. If you have your theology right, which I hope we all do, I think we look at this as this is God and His sovereignty allowing this pandemic called the coronavirus to happen. And I think how we respond as followers of Christ is vital to our testimony. We can either hunker down and be negative and panic and be fearful, or we have a choice to be courageous and accepting that this is God's plan for our life and look for opportunities to minister to our neighbors and to our church family.
You mentioned looking for opportunities to really be the body of Christ, how would we go about doing that? Because we're going to have to get a little creative with the social distancing aspect and being quarantined. So what would you offer as advice or suggestions, tips, that sort of thing for still being the church while not being able to maybe be quite as close?
Yeah, I hope all of our FLN listeners are members of a solid Bible-believing church. So I would say, first of all, reach out to your pastors and ask, hey, how can I help? Maybe it's giving some money. Maybe it's picking up groceries for a widow or someone in the church. But just letting your church leaders know you're willing and able to help goes a long way. I know even just in our own neighborhood where I live in Pennsylvania, our development, we have a kind of a listserv of about 50 families. In the summertime, we would send out announcements, hey, we're doing a garage sale, different things like that. What I did last week was just send out an email saying, hey, the Goldens were willing and happy to go get groceries for you or go to the pharmacy if you're unwilling or maybe a little hesitant to go outside. So it was neat to see about 10 different people respond, oh, thank you so much. This was a great encouragement. It's nice to know we have good neighbors. So just looking for simple ways to reach out to neighbors can really go a long ways.
One of the things about being at home is a change for a lot of us because we're, like I said, used to being at work or school or out running errands, that sort of thing. And now that's kind of all come to a screeching halt. So how do we maybe stay out of those pitfalls of the time wasters of getting sucked into social media for too long or maybe binge watching on Netflix just a little too much and then still stay productive?
I'll admit, my first couple of days of working from home, I didn't like it. I think I had a bad attitude, you know, this isn't going to work. But then as I realized the many, maybe unintended blessings of being home more often, maybe more flexibility, but able still getting to get the work done. I think keeping a routine, staying busy. I think the Lord in scriptures talks about not having idle hands, but staying busy. So having a plan, maybe tackling some things on the to-do list, spending more time with your family, your spouse, I think is going to go a long ways. I think sometimes God sends things like this just to help all of us hit the pause button. If you're like me, you're so busy with your career and ministry things and running your kids to lacrosse practice or whatever it may be. I think sometimes God says, hey, we're going to hit the pause button and kind of have a reset and things are out of whack and let's get our priorities in the right place. I think the silver lining to something like this is really focusing on what really matters. Storms help, I think, realign our priorities and give us a renewed perspective on what's truly important.
You had mentioned maybe not having the right attitude at the start. What type of mindset and attitude could we take? Because the easy route is to say, this stinks, or I don't like this, or I wish I was just back at work or in my normal routine. But how can we shift that into more of a positive, maybe spiritually focused mindset?
Yeah, I love the Psalms. I mean, the entire scripture is profitable for our daily lives, but I think just reading the Psalms, there's some great reminders of God's presence, God's comfort in times like these. So I think now that we all have more free time, instead of binge watching on Netflix or just wasting time scrolling through people's Facebook posts being negative, I think spending time in the Word and also even in our own social media habits, trying to be positive. Don't jump on the negative bandwagon and criticize Governor Cuomo or Governor Wolf or woe is me mentality, but be proactive, be positive in what you're putting out there. Put out scripture verses, put out examples of you and your family maybe serving others during this time. So I think just having that intentional, deliberate mindset, hey, we're going to tackle this. We're going to get through it. It's not going to be the new normal. It's going to hopefully end in a few weeks, if not months, and then value what you have now and what God has given to us. Using what we have to be positive and proactive with others.
Any other tips or advice that you'd like to impart on us or that we might have left out?
Yeah, I just thought of three things. As Christians, I think we need to, during this time, be proactive, be positive, and be pure. I think be proactive, you know, reaching out to your church family, reaching out to your neighbors. Hey, how can we help you? How can we serve you? I don't want your money. I just want to be a good neighbor. I want to help you. So be proactive. I think be positive. Our mindset, we can have a negative, critical spirit. Or as Christians, I think we need to have a positive, hopeful spirit. And as we're positive, hopefully that will help others not only get through this time, but also ask, you know, why are you so happy? Why are you so positive in the midst of this storm? And then we have our opportunities to share. So I think be proactive, be positive, and I think be pure. And I'm thinking in this way, not only in our holiness, but also in our motives. Make sure we're doing and serving others for the right reasons. But I think we can get through this. I'm an upbeat, kind of positive guy. I have two friends, Mike and Joel. We text back and forth each day, some funny memes, just to kind of keep it light. It's a serious time, certainly in our country, but we don't have to take ourselves seriously. So I think using humor with your kids, maybe making light of the situation, not that it's nothing to laugh at per se, but being positive and hopeful during this time is going to go a long ways in surviving the storm called coronavirus.
Good stuff. Great advice, too. Thank you, guys. Christian author Paul Golden there speaking with our own Brandon Dixon about our response to COVID-19.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All is pretty quiet on the weather, seeing no big storms are looming. So while skies have been clearing today for most, we do have moisture that will be building back into the region later in the week as an offshore storm pivots and brings us some cloud cover, maybe a few sprinkles. But that clears out in time for a nice start to the upcoming weekend. The call for this afternoon, we'll find a mixture of clouds and sunshine for most. Some stubborn clouds, though, for a while yet in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. High temps, 40s and low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine, the high in the 40s and near 50. On Friday, somewhat sunny near Lake Erie, but fairly cloudy elsewhere. A couple sprinkles, central New York. High temperatures, 40s and low 50s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally, at noontime, a science student at UB made a rap video about the coronavirus. That video has now gone viral.
Lights off, wipe it down, Clorox, wipe it down. Lights off, wipe it down, Clorox, wipe it down. Wash your body, wash your hair, and wash your hands too. Get the soap, scrub it down, and show me how you do.
So the song was born. I wrote it really quickly, and I matched it with a song that kind of made sense to pair it with, and everyone liked it.
Yeah, they did. Raven Baxter says her song, Wipe It Down, is tearing it up online. The rap video gives COVID-19 safety tips. Baxter says it's her way to share a positive message during these troubling times.
So everything, hold it down in your house, call us social distancing, get out each other's face, limiting the visiting. Let me tell you what we know about COVID-19.
That was probably the perfect time to delve into something that you're really curious about or very excited about.
Raven, the science maven, as she likes to call herself, says she's working on a new science CD. Can't wait to listen to that. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. Be safe out there. And as Raven says, wipe it down. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.